This is the Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage show by Mark Helm. Nothing Mark shares with you guarantees your success in the self-storage business. This is for informational purposes only. There are no calls to action and nothing said or implied is a call for investment money into self-storage or any other asset class. You are responsible for your success in the self-storage business or any endeavor in life. Enjoy the show, and here is Mark Helm.
If you're in the self-storage business and trying to grow your business, or you're trying to get into self-storage business and had a slow go of it so far, let's talk about how we can get the most out of 2025. My name's Mark Helm, and I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of the Quick Start Academy, which houses all of the training that I offer the small investor who wants to get into self-storage business or who wants to grow their self-storage business. You can find out more about the training I offer at Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage. A lot of free training on the blog training tab, and when you go to the store, there's courses like the Boot Camp, the on-demand self-storage boot camp, how to raise money, how to build your first self-storage facility. You can check it all out at creatingwealththroughselfstorage.com. But I'm going to take a really kind of different approach to talking about how to set goals and create your 2025. Rather than just tips or techniques, we're going to look at kind of the larger picture. I've been doing this work for a number of years now, and I want to share with you some of the stuff that I've learned. I've often said that success in storage or any endeavor in life is 20% what you know, 80% your mindset. Now, I didn't come up with that. I've learned that along the way. That's part of my training. But I firmly believe that. Mostly what we do in these episodes is we talk about the 20%. Today we're going to talk about the 80% of what it takes, I think, to be successful in any endeavor in life. My lifelong journey into this exploration of that 80% began back in the 80s, the mid-80s, when I first read, I reread, Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich. Now, one of the first things that Napoleon Hill and others teach is that you've got to have a very clear, specific goal in mind. It needs to be crystal clear, not like, I want to travel or I want to be happy. So back in the mid-80s, I decided I was going to use this technique to create money. So I studied most of the year through 1986, and I was determined that 1987 was going to be my year. So I created the goal that I was going to earn $100,000 in 1987. I studied the material all through 1986, prepared my goal statements, and was ready to go January 1, 1987. Now, the training is, the teaching is, that you have a clear goal in mind. You see it, feel it, experience it. Every morning I would get up and I would go through a drill and a routine, much like I still do today. Now, you got to keep in mind that this $100,000 in 1987 for me was an extreme stretch. The most I'd ever earned in my life up until that point was $18,000 to $22,000. And it wasn't very far into the process that I caught myself saying almost every morning, boy, I'll be lucky if I get half this amount this year. Well, at the end of 1987, what do you think my income was? You guessed it. I was within $400 of $50,000. When I realized what had happened, I was flabbergasted. How could a thought in my head actually produce these type, you know, exact results? And it sent me on a lifelong journey trying to figure out how this works. Was it coincidence? Sure occurred like magical thinking to me. Like, was there really an explanation for how holding a thought in mind could actually make it happen in reality? So it started me on what's turned out to be a lifelong journey and a lifelong study. One of the books I quickly came across was a book called The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace Wattles. It was actually written in 1910, 27 years before the book Think and Grow Rich came out. And The Science of Getting Rich, Wallace Wattles says, don't theorize about it, don't explore it, just apply the principles and get rich. Once you get rich, then you can theorize and philosophize all you want. But until then, just apply the formula. Well, I wasn't satisfied with that. I wanted to know why and how this works. Now, before I share with you how to create, or at least how I create my 2025, I want to give you some background information so that when we set goals together, you have a different relationship to what's possible, perhaps, with your goals. Now, I'm actually in the process of writing a book on what I've learned over the last 40 years, and it's scheduled to be published in quarter two of 2026. But I'll share with you in these next few episodes some of what I've learned over the past 35 to 40 years worth of exploring these principles. So first of all, what I quickly realized is if you want to study or learn how the nature, how the universe, how the world functions, you basically have two paths you can go down. One is spiritual, religious, or metaphysical studies. The other is scientific. That's the rigorous application of the scientific method. One of the two of those are the two ways I figured out how you can explore how the universe really works. Well, of course, I've gone down both. And what I learned began to give me the confidence to build my first self-storage portfolio, small, but in the early 2000s, which I built from basically December 31st, 1999 through, I think, about 2004. Then we ended up selling it. And then my second portfolio, which consisted of two brands, which is basically from 2008 to 2020, and I sold that for multiples more of what I sold the first portfolio for. And now I'm doing the same thing with my third portfolio. I'm coming out and growing. I've also used this process with businesses, personal life, relationships as well. I'm using it to create my 2025 business in self-storage. Now, in this episode, I can't go into the depth that obviously the book's going to go into, but I'm just going to really touch on some of what I've learned and give you some context for how your goals can show up for you in 2025. So let's talk about science over the last 600 years. Humans, up until, let's say, the Renaissance. And the Renaissance started in the late 1400s, but 1500s through the early 1700s. Up until that time, we primarily relied on myths, or in Western civilization, religion, to inform us about reality. This period kept us in what's called the Dark Ages. There wasn't much growth for our species during this period of time. Politically, socially, intellectually, or spiritually. It was primarily based on superstition or religion, but religion was primarily a way to keep the existing social structure and power structures of the religion in place. So we were in the Dark Ages as a species. We didn't advance very much. Then, towards the end of the Renaissance, is when we now call it the scientific revolution began to occur. And it blossomed with Sir Isaac Newton. In fact, today we still call a main branch of physics Newtonian physics. That was in the late 1600s, early 1700s. This is where that's the process of abstract reasoning, quantitative thought, new ways of understanding nature and the universe, the mental construct that nature or the universe is like a machine, and the development of the experimental process that we now call the scientific method. All of that was developed towards the end of the scientific revolution. Now, because religion had kept mankind in such ignorance and darkness during, quote, the Dark Ages, most of the scientists of that time, and even through today, this prejudice is still there, at least privately disregarded religion altogether and began to turn to science to advance the learning of our species. And sometimes they even publicly did it. Very risky back then, but they even did that. So that prejudice is carried on into today. Now, today, actually, 51% of scientists believe in a higher power, but much of that prejudice is carried over into the scientific community even to this day. One of the main mental constructs of that time was that nature or the universe functioned like a machine. And once we got down to understanding smaller and smaller and smaller parts of that machine, when we got to the smallest part, we would understand how the machine works. Boy, were they wrong. Next week, I'll go into a lot more detail on it. It's fascinating. But for this episode today, just begin to understand, as science moved into understanding and being able to quantify and study atomic particles and subatomic particles, what science discovered is astounding. The nature or the universe does not function like a machine at all. What physics today says is that the universe or nature functions like a thought. According to physics, theoretical physics, and especially as we get into the quantum study, quantum mechanics, string theory, what you find is that physics today understands that the underlying reality of nature is consciousness. The universe functions more like a thought than a machine. In fact, here are a few quotes. I regard consciousness as fundamental. I regard matter as derivative of consciousness. We cannot get behind consciousness. Everything we talk about, everything that we regard as existing, suggests consciousness. Now, Max Planck wasn't a fringe scientist. If you study physics in the university today, you're going to read textbooks by this person. He lived from April 1858 through October 1947. He was a theoretical physicist, and he won the Nobel Prize for Physics in 1918. Another person you'll study in the field of physics at the university is Sir James Jean. This is what he says. The stream of knowledge is heading towards the non-mechanical reality. The universe begins to look more like a great thought rather than a great machine. Mind no longer appears to be an accidental intruder into matter. We ought rather hail it as the creator and the governor of the realm of matter. Go over it, accept it as the inarguable conclusion. The universe is immaterial, mental, and spiritual. He lived from 1877 to 1946. Now, many of you may know Mr. Kuka. He's been on a lot of television shows, written books. He's considered a futurist. He's also a professor in physics. And he says, I have concluded that we are in a world made by rules created by intelligence. To me, it is clear that we exist in a plan which is governed by rules that were created, shaped by universal intelligence, not by chance. He's also a string theorist. We'll talk a little bit about string theory next week and show how this is relevant to creating our goals for 2025. Now, given this very brief overview or introduction, maybe it could begin to make more sense that if you actually create goals and create them a certain way, and that if the underlying reality is consciousness, maybe our goals can impact and connect with this consciousness. I'll show you over the next couple episodes how I and other people have done it. But I've discovered it's not just creating a goal or having a thought. We have to think in a very specific way. Next week, we'll cover that specific way. Now, as we close this episode, I'm going to give you some assignments if you're interested in creating a powerful 2025 for your business. But let's create one quick but very, very powerful distinction or concept that will help give you power with your goals. For human beings, reality occurs in language. Even when we have mental pictures, we relate to those mental pictures in language, in words. Now, most of us have a very weak relationship with language. If pressed, we would say something like, well, language describes what's going on in the world. Language describes what's out there. Rarely do we question if our perception of what's out there is true. And rarely do we ever think about how we use language other than as a descriptive tool. Well, consider language is a descriptive tool, that's valid, but it can also be a creative tool. But to have it be creative, when I say language, I'm talking about the spoken word as well as your mental thoughts, because you think in language too. But to have language become a creative tool, you need to have power with language, and you need to understand that you're actually using it differently the average way human beings use language. And in order to have that power, that's where the concept or the conversation about integrity comes in place. Now, most people relate to integrity as good, not having integrity is bad. If you are somebody who tells the truth, you have integrity. If you don't tell the truth, you don't have integrity and you're not a good person. Let's move beyond that for this conversation. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm not saying that's not valid. I'm saying that just is irrelevant for this conversation. Doesn't give us much power with our spoken word. If you want to create goals that happen in life, I assert that you need to have power with language. And we're going to relate to integrity not like a good thing, and if you have integrity, you're good. If you don't have it, you're bad. We're going to relate to integrity more like workability, like a bicycle wheel. If the spokes of that bicycle wheel are tight and in place, that wheel has integrity and that wheel can function. If the spokes are missing, other spokes are loose, that wheel doesn't have integrity and it won't function very well. For this conversation, let's relate to integrity like workability. So when we're creating goals and we have a very weak relationship to what we say, there's just no integrity with our speaking. Or we're creating money with our goals, and we have a weak relationship with money, and we don't have integrity with our money. In other words, we're late on bills, or we're just sloppy with money. What there is to do is restore integrity with our money, not like becoming a good person with money, but like putting workability in with money. Or putting workability with our word, then we begin to alter how we relate to ourselves when we speak something. So most humans, most of us with the wave of a hand will say, well, I've got integrity. I invite you not to do that. Look for where your integrity's out in regards to what you say and specifically in regards to money. Do you pay your bills on time? Do you have balances on your credit card? Can you pay your balances off monthly on your credit cards? Do you owe taxes? If you owe somebody money and can't pay them, have you called them, told them that, and made arrangements to pay in a way that works for you and for them? That's what we call restoring integrity. I was having trouble getting a loan last year in the storage business. Loan was coming in real slow. Things were just grindingly slow. Yeah, it's easy for me to say it's a tough lending environment, and it is a tough lending environment, but that doesn't give me any power. that's I'm a victim of a tough lending environment. What I did was look back in my life, where am I at of integrity with lenders? And I look for where I could restore integrity with lenders that I have, credit cards that I have. Did the work. You can always find where integrity's out if you really look. Did the work, and now that's going to make a big difference for me in 2025. That's where I recommend starting. So to create a powerful 2025 for your self-storage business, next week we're going to go a little deeper into some background concepts. But the assignment, if you choose to do it, is twofold this week between now and next week. One is look for where you're out of integrity with your word. Where have you said you were going to do something, didn't do it, didn't clean it up, didn't communicate effectively with the people involved. Just have those communications. Don't make yourself bad. Just do it. And look at your relationship with money. Where could you possibly find to begin to restore integrity with money? That way, when you create goals and you say something, what you say begins to have power. We're going to learn next week a little bit more about the nature of this underlying consciousness that we speak into and how your goals actually can manifest in your life by doing this work. But your assignment is, one, restore integrity with your speaking and with your money, where you can find it out. And two, create up to three short, very specific goals for 2025. So if you were sending an email to somebody, you wouldn't send some long, rambling, not specific email. If you did, it would be unclear. It'd be hard to get to what the real essence of that email is. A good email is short, concise, and very specific. That's the same thing with speaking goals. Here's an example for one of my companies. Resolve is completing $15 million worth of construction in 2025. It's specific. It's a real number. December 31st, 2025, it's either a yes or a no. That's what I put out for that particular company for this year. Come up with no more than three for your self-storage business. Integrity, create three short, clear, specific goals. We'll continue this work next week, and thank you for the opportunity to share these ideas and concepts with you. I look forward to being with you then.